So I'm going to start with talking about a conversation with Madison, and I have to let you know I got Madison's permission to be able to speak about her, because my kids are now at that age where I need to get permission before using them as sermon illustrations. But before receiving the word, let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the other day, Madison walked up to me in the kitchen and asked me how I learned to tie my shoes, okay? Remember, she's 10. And she was not asking me who taught me, like how I learned, but she was wanting to know by what method I learned to tie my shoes. But I have to tell you, I had to think about it. Like, what is my method for tying my shoes? I mean, tying my shoes now, it's just the way I've always tied them. I don't think about what the process is or what I'm doing. And, you know, I've been doing it for so long that I had to actually think about it. Now, I did tell her, Maddie, I do the loop, the swoop, and the through. Anybody else a loop, swoop, and through shoe tire? Yeah, we got a few of you. So I told her loop, swoop, and through. And her response was, well, why not the bunny ear method? You know, where you create the two loops and then tie them together. Do we have the dual bunny ear tires in here, anyone? Florence, congratulations on being unique and being with Maddie. And as you can see, we in my household have very deep and meaningful conversations how to tie shoes. But that conversation, it really got me thinking, and I proceeded to question my method not only of tying my shoes, but other basic methods in living. And I asked myself the question, why do I do the things that I do and in the way that I do them? Well, most of the time, the answer is because that's the way I've always done it, right? The classic answer. It's also the classic Methodist reason for things. That's the way we've always done it, right? Ask the pastor that comes in and tries to change something. Well, Lent is a season in the church year that we can ask about our faith. Why do we do what we do? In particular, thinking about our spiritual practices. Now, hopefully, in being asked why you do what you do, hopefully your answer is not because I've always done it that way. And hopefully it's not because I was told it was the right way. And I really don't want to hear because Pastor Stacy told me to. Okay? Don't do anything because I told you to. But hopefully your answer is because it's the most meaningful way for me to do it. Or because it's the way that I feel close to God. Do you see the differences between these reasons? Pastor Stacy told me to, I feel close to God. The two just can't be compared. Well, meaningful experiences and desiring to grow closer to God should be the primary reason for our spiritual practices and our disciplines as Christians. They should be at the heart of our Lenten journey and how we traverse from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday. Now, our scripture text this morning tells us that if we choose to fast, we should not do it so others can see our sacrifice and praise us. If that's why, then we should work to cover the effects of our fasting so that others cannot see it, and therefore our fasting becomes between us and God. It also tells us that when we pray, if we pray in such a way as to be praised by others, then we should hide in our closet when we pray, so that what we do is between us and God. Jesus here is asking us to refocus our faith practices in such a way that others are not in the equation and that the worldly does not have a say, so that what we do and how we do it becomes about our relationship with God and our personal journey of faith. I know it's contrary to many of the ways that we live in our society. Make sure you take a picture and post it on social media so everyone can see that you've done that, right? Well, it got me thinking about my television. Probably what I should give up for Lent. I know I spent way too much time watching my television, but every so often the television in my bedroom gets to this point where the mouths of the people on TV and the words are not synced up. You know what I'm talking about? So like the mouth goes and then all of a sudden the words go and it drives me crazy. But I've learned that what I have to do when the TV does this, the cable box does this, is that I actually have to turn off the cable box and turn it back on. And when I turn it off and turn it back on, it like recalibrates itself and the image and the video and the audio match back up once again. Now, we as individuals, if we have self-awareness, it helps us to notice when we become out of sync with God, out of sync with others, and out of sync with ourselves. Clues usually include, but are not limited to, a sour mood, a less than patient attitude, a loss of excitement for things that usually excite us, frustration with life or the people in it. It could also be indicated by headaches, trouble sleeping, too much sleeping, or even changes in our appetite and eating habits. Signs of spiritual misalignment, they're definitely different for each person, and we can figure them out if we pay attention and are honest with ourselves and one another. Lent is a time for spiritual realignment. Now, maybe it is time to take up a new routine or practice. Now, I know we as Methodists fear change and new things, but maybe that's just what we need this Lent to re-kickstart our faith and relationship with God. Or maybe it's time to resurrect an old discipline. As we're finding better and better news about the COVID situation, it's opening doors for some of our old ways to be able to creep back in and bring new life within us. Or maybe, just maybe, it's a time to let go of a way we thought was connecting us to God, but in reality was just a habit and not a connection. Today we wear ashes, worn upon our heads, symbolic of our imperfections. We all wear them together because none of us are perfect. But we are comforted in knowing that God loves our imperfect selves. They remind us of our humanity. They proclaim our repentance. And they are our first step towards a renewed faith in and with God that then revives our relationship with our neighbor and this world. My friends, we prepare ourselves to receive such ashes, the ashes that come from the burning of the palm branches from the year before, bookmarking from the end of Lent back to the beginning. And so hear these words as we begin our time of ashes. Though all along our daily pilgrim race, our treasures small and very few may be, our souls are blessed with God's unending grace, and that is enough. Enough for me. Oh, that's enough for me. God's truth has set me free. The love of Christ has sanctified my soul, and that is enough for me. We are reminded in the ritual of ashes, that we are part of the dust and the debris of this earth. Just as things of creation grow, but also die in the cycle of life, so too our lives have times of growth as well as times of decay and death. Placing the sign of the cross upon our foreheads with ashes is a reminder of this difficult reality, but also a reminder of the presence of God, the grace of Christ, and the power of the Spirit in all of it. Early Christians were anointed with the sign of the cross on their foreheads at their baptism. The sign and seal, as it was called, is a way to remember that we are marked and held as God's own through all of the transformations and transitions we face. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, you are the God that collected up the dust of this earth and breathed life into it to create human life, but not just any life, your most precious creation, your most beloved of children. And as your breath and your Holy Spirit is within us, we ask your Holy Spirit to bless the ashes that we are about to receive. May they become for us a symbol of our humanity, but also a symbol of the grace that you give us, that reminds us that you loved us while we were still sinners, a proof of your love for us. May we be blessed by your presence, blessed by your grace, and blessed by your unconditional love for us. For all this we pray in your holiest of names. Amen. And with that, I will be inviting us forward to come and receive the ashes. I just ask that we do kind of one pew at a time to give some social distancing between us. And while we receive the ashes, we will be listening to a beautiful choral hymn of Dust I Am.